Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray, let us pray. Heavenly Father, this gospel you promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scripture, bring to fullness this morning in our hearts, in our lives, through your Son, our Lord Jesus, who is Christ. Fill this moment here with Holy Spirit power to bring forth life-transforming grace in each one of us, each and every one of us here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We began our worship time together this morning singing, "Mary, Did You Know?" This focus on Mary, the mother of our Lord, abounds. Chosen to be the bearer of the living God. The theological term oftentimes used is Theotokos. Theotokos. And this word literally translates as God bearer. Theo means God. Tokos means to bear, as in to bear and bring forth a child, to beget a child, to bring forth and as a woman given birth. So Mary called Theotokos God-bearer is true. Indeed, Mary is the Theotokos. She did carry God in her womb and gave birth to a son. Mary was the human being through whom the eternal begotten Son of God, somehow, some way, in the power and wisdom of God, through Mary, the begotten Son of God, took on humanity, took on human flesh, and was born a baby, entering the world just as you and I entered the world, born as a baby. So much focus on Mary, we tend to set aside and forget about Mary's husband, Joseph. Yet the Lord also chose Joseph, just as much as the Lord chose Mary. And one needs to glean bits of here and there from the four Gospels to begin to draw that picture of Joseph, because honestly, we don't know much about Joseph. But that doesn't mean Joseph was not as important in that home as Mary was. Joseph was chosen. Now we began singing, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I thought to start playing with some words to create a song, "Joseph, Did You Know?" But that went nowhere, so you can thank me later that I cut it out of the sermon. But I mean, Mary and Joseph together, beginning with Joseph's trade, a carpenter. A carpenter. He was trained to be a carpenter, and he trained Jesus to also be a carpenter. Matthew chapter 13, we find in a moment in verse 55, the town of Nazareth complaining about Jesus. They say, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas?" So we learn a bit about carpenter. Mark chapter 6, verse 3, "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And again, it was taking offense at Jesus. There's something special about working in wood and having items made from wood. And wood, I mean, it stands the test of time. You can find items that were well built from good wood, and they can last for years. They can last for centuries. They can last for eons. Wood items can last. In my home, some of you have seen it because I brought it here during Lent many years ago. In my home is a trunk. And this trunk is several hundred years old. On the outside, in Norwegian toll painting, is the date 1829. On the inside, there is evidence in the trunk that shows it had been handed down at least one generation because it was repainted at least once inside the trunk. Most likely, this trunk is from the 1760s. It could be older. So, I mean, a piece of wood lasting. And this, the smell of wood. How many like the smell of wood when you're working with wood? And then you smell it and you go, "Oops, I burned the wood as I was working with." That happens once in a while. But how many of you like to make sawdust? I love making sawdust, and the evidence, it gets all over the house. No matter how much I try to keep it in that workroom in the basement. But sawdust, I love it. And this past year, I built Ari a captain's bed with 6 drawers and a bookshelf headboard out of poplar, out of hardwood. I like working in hardwood. And through the years, I built a TV stand. I helped my dad build a grandfather clock from a kick that's in my living room. Marissa, I built a loft out of 2x4s and MDF, but she loves it. She adores it and uses it much. And I just built other things. Years ago, I helped my dad. I was turning on the lathe, the spindles, and I helped build a cradle out of cherry for my niece. She would be the firstborn. We didn't know if it was a niece at that time we were making it. But it turned out to be a niece. For the first grandchild, my dad and I made a cradle, a rocking cradle. And the thing is, when Marissa was born, we placed Marissa in it too. I helped make a cradle. And it goes on and on. We pass it down. Hardwood boards, I have them in my basement. They've been aged for over 25 to 30 years. I'll eventually make something out of the hardwood that I have, mahogany, cherry, and so on. I mean, it's that good piece of wood. Woodworkers, you know, a good piece of wood with that grain. You look for the grain, and you craft it, and you love to give a gift to another person. The joy of woodworking, you know it. And some of the stuff here up in front was done by that gentleman back there, too, I understand. These railings on the side of the worship space were done by Jack. I mean, woodworking, it lasts. And you can look around many other places, too. That joy of bringing beauty. That satisfaction. And I love the power tools. It's the power tools. You know, Tim the Toolman, or Binford, but I know. But you just get it going. The satisfaction. How many of you watched this old house to just think, watched what they're making out of wood and enjoy what they're doing? Joseph was a carpenter. And the boy he raised, his firstborn son, would be a carpenter too. Carpentry, hard physical work. It builds up muscles, and it's easy to see in the physicalness of carpentry good preparation for being a traveling, itinerant teacher, preacher, rabbi that he would one day become. But there's more about Joseph than it's really important, more than him being a carpenter, it's his character. And we get a first glimpse of his character in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph, a man who desired to do the will of God. That's what righteous means. And it seems to have the heart of compassion also and a heart of mercy. In his righteousness, he had to do what was right. But his compassion and mercy for Mary, he was concerned about Mary. He didn't want to shame her with public disgrace. He wanted to take care of her too. Pledged to be married. This pledge to be married, this betrothal, as far as they understood it, that culture, and as far as they are concerned, you are married. In the engagement, you are married. It's just a matter for the marriage ceremony to take place. Oftentimes, there's contracts written. You will be married. So betrothal, breaking a betrothal, breaking that pledge to be married, you notice it's called divorce. That's how important this time together. So Matthew writes about Joseph, and he desires to divorce her quietly. Why? Because of his righteous character, and the quietly because of his compassion and mercy for Mary. What is Joseph to do? All he knows, he's not the father of the child that Mary's carrying. And the understanding of life then was chastity before marriage. That was the norm of life. And then fidelity in marriage. That was the expectation of the culture. And by the way, that's God's view. That's commanded by God. Chastity before marriage, fidelity in marriage. That's God's word, God's way. That's righteousness. Joseph's not the father. Mary's with child. It means Mary must have been unfaithful. But that's out of character of Mary because Joseph knows Mary.
He knows her character. And to be unfaithful? Divorce her quietly. That's why he makes up his mind for that. Mary, the Lord God, sends a messenger to Joseph. The Lord God sends an angel. And you notice the way the angel greets Joseph. Joseph, son of David. From this we learn Joseph is a descendant of King David. Next, Joseph is told, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the angel? No, it's do not be afraid to bring Mary home with him. Bring Mary home. It's bring alongside, to take her alongside. That's what the Greek word means, to bring her alongside of you, to bring her home. And so don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, to bring her home. Then the angel tells Joseph the reason why not he should fear bringing Mary home with him, because the angel says, which is in her womb is conceived in her of the Holy Spirit. We don't know how, but God did it. What's in her is of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Joseph, Mary has not been unfaithful to you. As a matter of fact, she's faithful to you. What is conceived in her is of God. Holy Spirit, wonder, and power. Take her home. Mary is being the Lord's servant. Bring her home. You be the Lord's servant too. Mary has given herself to the will of God. And the child in her womb is the begotten of God from the Holy Spirit. The angel goes on to specifically say, the child will be a son and is to be given this name, Jesus. In the Hebrew, it's Yeshua, Joshua, which means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. This boy, the reason for this very specific name is this boy, this child, begotten of God in Mary, will save his people from sin, will save them from their sins. Joseph wakes up, and we see then his character put into action. We see that indeed Joseph is righteous as described. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. There's immediacy in the action of Joseph. There was no hesitation. So he had made up his mind to divorce her quietly. Now that God has sent a messenger to him, an angel of God, he jumps into action. And so we see Joseph's character in that. He obeys. He does what he is commanded without hesitation. And he brought Mary home as his wife. Timeline-wise, this is maybe about the fourth or fifth month of pregnancy, because you need to remember that when Mary got the message, she then went to her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was in about her sixth month, and then Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. So timeline-wise, Mary's 4 months, 5 months, she's showing, and Joseph brings her home as his wife in obedience to what was commanded. We see Joseph's character in this righteousness. It comes through in that Joseph was patient and he waited till after Mary gave birth to his son and gave the name Jesus. The marriage was not consummated till after Jesus was born. Jesus did have other children with Mary in the years that followed. He would have at least 4 sons, because we're given the names James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Joseph would also be the father of at least 2 daughters, because we know from Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, which I read earlier, but I read again, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And we heard from Mark that he has sisters. And by the way, this James, his half-brother, so to speak, becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem and writes the book of James in Scripture. We learn more about Joseph in that he observed the law of God. Luke chapter 2 tells us that on the 8th day, Jesus received the sign of the covenant and was given the name Jesus, just as the angel commanded. Mary and Joseph, we learn from Luke, observed the time of purification as commanded by the law of Moses, and then presented themselves at the temple in Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice in keeping with the law. And that's when Simeon was there and Anna, the prophetess, was there. Notice they were keeping the law. They were observing the law. This is the home that Jesus would grow up in. A home that observed the law with a mother and a human father that willingly did the will of the Lord. Both submitting to the awesome task set before them concerning this Jesus. Many like to speculate concerning whether Joseph and Mary really understood. For me, I think they knew more than we give them credit for. Mary knew how she conceived that child without intimacy. Joseph knew Mary was faithful to him, and the child was conceived without intimacy, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We need to give them more credit that they knew more than we think they did. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Joseph led the home with obedience to the Lord God by observing the law of Moses. We've already heard some of it as commanded. But we also see it then in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. So every year Joseph took the family to Jerusalem in obedience. And they took him to the feast of Passover. The law of Moses requires all men to appear in Jerusalem for the three major festivals every year. Passover, the feast of Passover is one of them. Every year Joseph brought the family. So year after year, as Jesus was growing up, this example of righteous living was demonstrated by obedience of Joseph and the entire household. And you know the event when Jesus was 12 at the feast of Passover. He stays home. He stays after the feast, and the family starts heading home. And they travel about a day. They go around all their relatives and go, "Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus?" One time I got missed. I was at the air show at the Dayton Airport years and years. I was about 5 years old. My mom brought a whole bunch of neighbors with us, so in a big old station wagon, 9 or 10 kids, I don't remember the count. So we brought all the kids, but when she left, she was one short, me. And when I went back to where the car was, boy, those tears went, They went down like, a five-year-old at the Dayton, you know, the Dayton Air Show long ago? I mean, bawling out. Well, okay, where's the car? What do I do? Go watch the air show. I mean, they did come back and get me. You're lucky they did. But they came and found me and brought me home, and I grew up, sort of. But the years of being left, well, Jesus wasn't like that. Where did you find him? They searched him for 3 days, and they found him in the temple. And they were astonished, and all the people in the temple were astonished about the conversation. This 12-year-old boy, 12-year-old man. In the culture, bar mitzvah, 12 years old, he's a man, answering with such wisdom. Mary speaks to him, starting at Luke chapter 2, verse 48. When his parents saw him, that's Mary and Joseph saw him, they were astonished. And then his mother said to him, Mary said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Joseph was the father to Jesus, raising Jesus as his own son. And Mary acknowledges it right here. "Your father and I have been anxiously, Joseph and I have been searching for you." Again, we see the character of Jesus, character of Joseph showing forth. This boy, he was not his son. This boy, Jesus, he raised him as his own son. "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And then Jesus answers back, "Don't you understand? I need to be about my father's business." In other words, his father, the living God. But then Jesus goes home and raises up in wisdom and stature. But you know, that's the last we hear about Joseph. The Gospels then jump about 30 years to where Jesus is 30 years old. So they jump 18 years to where Jesus is 30 years old and Jesus begins his ministry. We don't know when Joseph died. We do know, though, Jesus became a carpenter just like his dad, Joseph. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Isn't this the carpenter? That's referring to Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? So we know Jesus is a carpenter. A carpenter. A carpenter. Think about that. Why a carpenter? Why not a shepherd? Because Jesus is the good shepherd. He could have been a shepherd. Or he's the bread of life. Why wasn't Jesus a baker? He was a carpenter. Why not a farmer? Because Jesus talked about sowing seeds. A carpenter who worked in wood and a worker of wood is the life that Jesus grew up with. It's the life that Jesus, if you will, apprenticed into. He became a carpenter. But what we see is Joseph being a faithful father for Jesus growing up. Joseph, and we see in Joseph living a life of obedience to the law of God. Joseph set a household that was there for Jesus and his brothers and sisters to grow up in, a household of being a servant of God. Obedience. That's a hard word for our culture in this day and age, a culture that's so bent on rebellion. Rebellion against authority, and even more than that, rebellion against God's ordained way of life. And it's the evidence of sin nature that resides in us. It's the evidence why we need this Jesus to be born. We need to be saved from our sins. This obedience that was exemplified in Joseph and Mary, who both said, "We're the servants of the Lord," by the way they lived out their lives. This obedience, you know, is essential to your faith and my faith also. We hear in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, "Through him," that's Jesus, "through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith." Isn't that interesting? Romans chapter 1, "to the obedience that comes from faith." And you can do a quick word search through the Bible and scriptures and search for the word faith and search for the word obedience and how often the two do come up together. For example, 2 John chapter 6, the first half of the verse, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his command." Or Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Although he was a son," that's speaking about Jesus, "he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." Jesus, in his perfect obedience, suffered. You know, Jesus grew up in a household that showed obedience to God through Joseph and Mary. And that's what we are to show in our own household. A carpenter. It's a life working with word, but it's a life that serves the needs of others. By crafting for them useful utensils or doors or tables or beds or plows, whatever the customer ordered, you would provide with your very best skill at their service. A home where obedient faith was lived out and described, Joseph was a righteous man. But yet with that righteousness, which the Pharisees strive for but forgot about, was compassion and mercy. That's the household Jesus grew up in and his siblings. And we have the book of James from his brother that shows about faith and works going together. "I show you my faith by what I do." Faith lived out in obedience to the word of God. It all comes together. And you can just glean a few of these from some Joseph's life. And what we glean from Joseph's life, we can put into our own life. A seeking of doing the will of God. Of walking with compassion and mercy and grace. Of training up and raising children to walk with obedience to the will of God. Because that's the fruit that comes from faith. And also to help them see how much they need a Savior
just as you and I need a Savior. Think about all God has done to just bring about the moment in Mary, and then in that household of Joseph and Mary, a child named Jesus to be Savior. Given the name to remind us why he came, Yeshua, Joshua, the Lord saves. Think of all this together. And what does it mean for your own life? This day that we light the candle of love, and we heard in 2 John chapter 6, this is love. We walk in obedience to his commands. How do we live this out in a world that is rebelling more and more against the righteousness of God? We walk in obedience by faith, trusting the power of the living God. Didn't Mary and Joseph know eventually what would take place in Jesus' life? I don't know. But did they know that Jesus was amazing and born in an incredibly unique way? Yes. The Son of God, begotten. And he was born into a carpenter's household, and he grew up a carpenter's life. And he became our Savior. So this Christmas time, may you see anew the wonder of Joseph and his carpenter's life that he shared with his son, Jesus.